Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get 20% off your next order.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into a Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Louis DiBiase joining you on episode one this week of at least five, maybe even six, 4 to 6 episodes a week, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. So the bye week is officially over. The Eagles remain in first place in the NFC East at 3-4-1. One, they've got the New York Giants coming up again on this Sunday as they try to beat the Giants for the 9th straight time on Sunday. The Eagles have beaten the Giants every single game since 2016 when Carson Wentz was a rookie. And so they'll try to make that 9 straight wins against New York. It feels very similar to... So I work for the Buffalo Bills radio affiliate up here in Buffalo, New York, and it feels very similar to what happened for my entire childhood growing up here in Western New York was... The New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills every single year, twice a year, all but maybe one or two seasons growing up. And so for a lot of Eagles fans, for a lot of younger fans right now, they don't know what a loss to the Giants feels like. And so they probably don't have that hatred for New York like they do Dallas, right? Or maybe Washington, but even Washington's been pretty bad over the last long period of time, really, since Kirk Cousins was the quarterback. And so that's kind of where they're at with the Giants. But nonetheless, it's a very winnable game that the Eagles are heavy favorites in, and they should be, even with the inconsistent play they've had this year in 2020. And it's a big opportunity for the Eagles to continue the stranglehold that they can have on the NFC East. Even at 3-4-1, they have a stranglehold on this division, which is pathetic, but it is true. And that hold on the division got even better, got even bigger on Sunday, despite the Eagles not playing, staying under 500 on the year. The race for the NFC East crown got even easier. Dallas blew a second-half lead against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who remain undefeated, the only undefeated team in football. So the Cowboys dropped to 2-7 on the season. New York beats Washington, and that's big because both now still have 2 wins. We didn't want Washington to win that game because then they have 3 wins just like the Eagles do, and Washington right now has the head-to-head tiebreaker as they defeated the Eagles week 1. So that helped out the Giants beating Washington. So now the Giants are 2-7. Washington drops to 2-6, and the Cowboys, with that loss to the Steelers, are also 2-7. So the Eagles have a very comfortable lead right now, even after the bye week, in the NFC East. It's crazy. A win against New York this week would really set them up beautifully, which is crazy considering how bad the Eagles have played this year and the daunting schedule they have down the stretch this year. Them winning against the Giants and getting to 4-4-1 would still, despite those factors, would set them up beautifully. They have currently, according to ESPN, a 78% chance of making the playoffs. That's better than the Pittsburgh Steelers, who again are the only undefeated team in football. They have a 78% chance of making the playoffs, and they could get to 4-4-1 this week and be 2-3 games up in the division, maybe. And you still got to play Green Bay this year, Seattle, Arizona, New Orleans. I mean, that's potentially, that might be, yeah, I think it is, the 4 best teams in the NFC. And you still got to play Cleveland in a couple weeks, and they're, what, 5-3? And so it looks daunting. That could be 5 more losses, and yet it doesn't matter. You still, right now, you almost have an 80% chance of winning the division, and if you win on Sunday against the Giants, none of those games might mean anything, at least when it comes to winning the division. It certainly matters with determining what kind of team this Eagles team is into January, if you can actually take them seriously against contenders, because right now, you know, they kept it close against Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but then it's hard to take them seriously when they're, you know, almost losing to Daniel Jones and Ben DiNucci. But at the same time, they're sitting really pretty coming off their bye week, even at 3-4-1, even at that tough schedule. They're looking like a team that has a 78% chance of winning the division, a division that is the worst in football, maybe the worst all time, and it got even worse on Sunday. The overall record now of the NFC East this year is 9-24-1. The Cowboys lose to the Steelers, the Giants beat Washington, the Eagles sit pretty right now in first place in the East, and not only does it get easier in the division, it seems like every single week, but the Eagles are also getting back a lot of their key starters on both sides of the ball that were out with injuries, and that's big because, again, after New York, it gets tough. You've got Cleveland, you've got teams like the Seahawks, the Packers, the Saints, the Cardinals. You got another game against Dallas and Washington, and those are always close games within the division, regardless of the talent on either team. And so the good sign for the Eagles to make a second-half run like they've been able to do the last three seasons is the fact that they are getting back a lot of key players. And we'll get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, today's episode is sponsored by Echelon. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, right? Of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and all of their new Stride Smart treadmills. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everybody, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. So you're not going to the YMCA and signing up for, you know, six different memberships that could be $50 a month. Again, unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everybody. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. All right, everybody, welcome back into this Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition, segment 2, episode 1 of at least 5 this week, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to the only daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, Locked On Eagles. As I talked about in segment 1, the bye week was good to the Eagles. The Cowboys lost and dropped to 2-7 on the year. New York beat Washington, which means Washington is now 2-6. The Giants are 2-7. And so the Eagles have an opportunity if they beat the Giants this Sunday at 4-4-1 would be their record. If they win, they are comfortable leading the division. Again, they have a 78.8% chance, according to ESPN, of winning the NFC East, and that's a better chance of making the postseason than what the only undefeated team in football has right now in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think they're at, do not quote me on Instagram, let's see what this was again, ESPN, 72%. So they were winners certainly during the bye week, and they're winners heading into this game against the Giants because they're expected to get a lot of their starters back on both sides of the football. They really did weather the storm, and now you can expect Lane Johnson to be back soon at right tackle, probably this week. He was probably going to play against the Cowboys, but the Eagles wanted to rest him for the bye week and get him 2 weeks rest, and so to have him ready for this second half run. Isaac Seumalo was activated to a 21-day practice window, so Isaac Seumalo could potentially return to left guard. Maybe on Sunday, if not within the next couple weeks. So you have two of your key starters on the offensive line coming back soon. Miles Sanders at running back will be back on Sunday. And Alshon Jeffrey, as much as I don't like him and really don't think he's the player he used to be, Alshon Jeffrey could return to the lineup against the Giants as well. And so that's a lot of talent that you're getting back, a lot of proven talent for a stretch run here trying to make the playoffs. And I'm excited for a lot of those guys. I mean, Miles Sanders, we know how efficient he's been and how explosive he's been through the air and on the ground this year, and he really hasn't gotten the workload that he probably should, considering the inconsistencies of Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson's play calling, the passing game, and yet Sanders still is on pace for, in five games played this year, he's on pace for almost 900 rushing yards. And I think to get this offense back on track, kind of like in the middle of the season last year, what did they do? They fed Jordan Howard. They let this offensive line eat. They let Jordan Howard eat. And the way Sanders is playing this year and down the stretch last year, I think you got to give Sanders the ball a lot when he comes back against New York, and I think that'll help get Wentz back on track and just the offense in general. And you're going to need Miles Sanders down the stretch like you did last season, so getting him back is going to be huge. And when it comes to Alshon Jeffrey, again, I'm focused on at receiver Travis Fulgham and Jalen Reagor, and I still want to see the development of John Hightower. I want to see that through. I still want to see Greg Ward out there on third downs making plays, but I will say, folks, Alshon Jeffrey is going to be the third receiver when he's back. You know, DeSean Jackson's out for pretty much the entire regular season. John Hightower has been inconsistent. Greg Ward is just a dude, right? Maybe that's not fair to say, but, you know, talent-wise, he is just a dude. He's not Alshon Jeffrey talent-wise. Even with Alshon's negative traits right now, with the age, with the injuries, with the drop-off he had last year, with the drops. But at the same time, Alshon's a proven receiver that has stepped up in big moments in his career with the Eagles in the postseason and a Super Bowl run. And so with Fulgham being a young second-year receiver, with Reagor being a rookie, I think they're going to want that veteran Alshon Jeffrey as your third receiver when he's back. So I think Alshon will play. You know, he's going to rotate in. Like, he's not going to play every snap in 12 personnel. It's going to be Reagor and Fulgham, and I think Ward and Hightower are still going to play. But Jeffrey will be out there when he's healthy. With Lane Johnson coming back, too, one negative about that, the only negative is that you're likely going to see Jordan Mailata going to the bench, which sucks, because if it was me, I would want Jason Peters playing right guard, and I'd want Mailata playing left tackle. I think Mailata's been better than JP this year, but they want Jason Peters still at left tackle. JP looked good against the Cowboys two weeks ago, so no incentive really to pull him right now considering his last performance, but it sucks because I was just really looking forward to seeing Mailata continue to grow and develop, and it was fun watching him out there hold his own at left tackle and then get asked to switch to right tackle, which was really tough for Andre Dillard last year. He couldn't do it, and Mailata looked pretty damn good against Dallas. So, unfortunately, he's going to be going back to the bench with Lane Johnson coming back and Isaac Seumalo. You know, everybody coming back, what I'm hoping is that it gets this team back to a consistent level of play, because they're going to need it. Against Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, you can't have the performance you had against Dallas and New York and expect to win against that kind of competition. And so they stayed alive. They're 3-4-1. They're comfortably in first place despite that record. They weathered the storm. They weathered the storm of all these injuries and this inconsistent play. And so it's time now, with all these starters returning, to play to the level that we saw down the stretch last year, down the stretch in 2018. Do it earlier in 2020. I want this team in the playoffs. They have the talent to do damage. Let's see them get on a consistent level of play here, because if you don't and you look like the team that you saw in the first half of the year, you're going to lose probably another 5-6 games. And they, you know, even if they make the playoffs with that, I don't want that to be the case. I want this team to make the playoffs, but I want them to do it by, you know, getting at least a win or two against the Packers, Cardinals, Seahawks, Saints, Browns. Like, show me you can beat those teams, or else making the playoffs is worthless. And I believe this team can beat those teams, and we're going to see them get to do it in the regular season before we know how serious we should take this team in the playoffs, even if they make it. Because no matter what, they could lose all those games, and guys, they're still going to make the playoffs. All right, we got one more break to hit here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. This late night Monday edition of the show coming up next. Eagles special teams coach Dave Phipp kind of hinted at what his plan is at punt returner in the second half of the season. That is an area this Eagles team has not been very good at for years now, and it kind of goes under the radar outside of Gino Camilleri, my co-host, really bringing it to the forefront the past couple weeks. Dave Phipp talked about that spot on the team and what's going to be the plan the final 8 games of the season. We'll get into what he said and my opinion on that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's episode is sponsored by the best tasting protein bar out there you can find. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Guys, how many protein bars out there are you going to find that have those kind of flavors, that have peanut butter brownie or orange vanilla, you know, salted caramel, mint brownie, banana bread? I mean, there's so many different unique ones with Built Bar, and they don't taste like a protein bar. They honestly are a snack that you could bring to the movie theater, and I wouldn't bat an eye. There's 180 calories. calories in every bar, 19 grams of protein. It's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar out there, it's Built Bar. All right, Eagles fans, I want to wrap up this Monday edition of Locked On Eagles by getting into some special teams talk, which doesn't really happen a lot on this show or probably any Eagles podcast, but it's a unit that needs to be discussed right now in really one key area of the unit, and it's the punt return spot. Punt returners for the Birds, normally their history has been, incredible. They've had, just in the last decade, two of the best return specialists of all time back there, DeSean Jackson, Darren Sproles, and lately they have been useless back there. That has not been a spot where they can rely on big plays to happen. And so, right now they've been rolling with Greg Ward, and that's just, it hasn't been good enough. Greg Ward's not getting the job done. They got to get more explosive back there. They need to have options back there that can actually take the ball to the house, and they've kind of sacrificed explosive options for the sake of ball security. I think Jalen Reagor had those fumble issues at the beginning of the season, and so that kind of scared the Eagles. And then, of course, Rager's injuries. They didn't want to put him out there and risk that thumb injury or the shoulder, and then obviously he missed all those games. He missed five straight games. So that was a factor in it as well. But, Greg Ward was back there to just catch the ball, fair catch it, and boom, don't turn the ball over. But with that, Greg Ward doesn't really present any big playability back there, and so you kind of sacrificed any real threat to take a ball to the house or to set up the offense with good field position by getting a big return. And so in the second half of the season, to me, that's got to change. You have got to get a better option that's not Greg Ward. The Eagles haven't had a dangerous punt returner back there since, what is that? Kenyon Barner in 2017, right? Yeah, it's been, this is the third season now where they just don't have any options back there, or at least they haven't been using options back there that can change the way a game is going. And even, I remember before Kenyon Barner, even Josh Huff had the ability to take some returns to the house. And so Miles Sanders last year did well in the kickoff return game, but Kenyon Barner in 2017, and that's really it. Because Darren Sproles' injuries, they have not had any explosive guys back there. And so Dave Phipp, the Eagles special teams coach, said that he did kind of recognize this issue. And he did say that with the return of Jalen Reagor and the healthier he's going to get week after week, that they are expecting to get Reagor back there more down the stretch, these final eight games of the season. And that's good because obviously we know Reagor is a 4-3 speed wide receiver. He's explosive. He's incredible in the run after the catch area of his game. And so that translates well to the punt return game. As long as he doesn't fumble and, he's getting healthier, they're going to use Jalen Reagor back there, according to Dave Phipp. It's not just Reagor, though. I would love to, even if it's not Reagor, I don't want Greg Ward to be the one back there. I want to see Quez Watkins get an opportunity. Quez Watkins had the second fastest 40 time at the Combine, only behind Henry Ruggs. I'd like to see, if you're going to use Adrian Killings, has blazing speed and you activated him to the roster. Jason Huntley is just rotting on the 53-man roster right now. I don't know why you dress him. So you might as well use him in the return game. Use somebody other than Greg Ward, because Ward is catching the punts, but that is all he's doing. That's really the ceiling that you get from Ward back there. They don't have any danger in the punt return game. And so it would help an inconsistent offense if you could have Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins, John Hightower, Huntley, Killings, somebody getting you to the 40-yard line as opposed to just taking a fair catch at the 15, right? It would get you more field goals. It would get you more points. It would help out an inconsistent offense. And the Eagles have not been able to rely on that short fields because of the punt return game in 3 years now. So I'm glad Dave Phipp is recognizing they need to get Jalen Reagor back there. But it's not just Reagor. Get Quez Watkins involved. Get Killings, Huntley, Hightower. When DeSean Jackson, I wish when he was healthy, they got him more involved back there. Even though he got injured on a punt return, it was a cheap shot. So you can't really blame them or DeSean for wanting to field that punt. So that's an area of this team that it kind of goes under the radar how bad they've been there for years now. And it would really help them out if they got better there. And they have the personnel to do it. They have the personnel to really create no excuse to have Greg Ward back there, outside of just being that terrified to fumble the punt And again, they're sacrificing any real big play ability back there for the name of not turning over the ball. And that's something I think needs to change. I think Rager, you got to let him work that out. You got to let him have an opportunity, give him more chances to catch the ball in the punt return game and bring him back. Quez Watkins, too. Give these young kids a chance, because Greg Ward is just not getting the job done. Boston Scott really hasn't in the return game either this year. And we saw in 2018, just Corey Clement is not really an option as an explosive punt returner. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform. 4 to 6 episodes a week being downloaded into your phone. You can also check them out on LockedOnEagles.com as well. Me and Gino will be back tomorrow. Until then, we're always talking birds. On Twitter after the show, hit us up at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino_L-O-E. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go birds.